okay? The reading this morning is taken from Matthew, from chapter 2, and it's page 966 in your pew Bibles. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Be to God. So, Jesus is born, right? That's what we celebrated on Christmas Day, that Jesus is born. And then the Savior has come, yes? Okay, good. And that's what we are living in now. So what happens next is kind of the big question. Well, the Gospel of Matthew tells us, as we've just heard, that wise men, the Magi, they're the same thing, in case you ever wondered. Some call them wise men, some call them Magi, some call them kings. They came to find Jesus after he was born. And these Magi, who are the wise men, went to Herod and asked him this: "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship you, him." Now, here's a little tip for you. I'm not convinced that the wise men can have been that wise. Who on earth asks an insecure, power-hungry king, a king who's struggling to maintain authority in his land, a king who's struggling to rule these pesky Jews, who would ask a question like, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" And Herod's kind of like, "You what? I'm the king around here. There's no other king. No, you got this all wrong." So he goes and chats to the chief priests and the elders of the law, and they tell him exactly the same thing. And it would be fair to say that Herod is not a happy bunny. So he calls these Magi to him, these visiting wise men. Isn't it interesting that he calls the visiting wise people to send away, not his own people to send away? But he calls these visiting wise men and he gives them a clear and distinct order. And it's the sort of order that if you don't do it, he's going to send people out to kill you. And so Herod says to these Magi, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. You see, Herod is going to use the Magi to find Jesus and then have him killed. In Herod's mind, there is no other king of the Jews. There is only him. And he just doesn't get what's going on here. So the Magi go off in search of Jesus, and that amazing star leads them to Jesus. And then the Bible says this, and just to warn you, this is like huge, okay? This is life-changing. It says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They bowed down and worshipped him. These wise men, these magi, these kings from other lands, they're more used to people bowing down to them. They would have asked and it would have happened. And yet they walk into this house and all they can do is bow down and worship a baby because they know that this baby is not all that seems on the surface. This is not just a baby. This is the baby named Jesus. They know their scripture. They know the prophecy. They know that someone was coming. This is the baby for whom a star rose in the sky. Can you tell me of anyone else in history for whom a star rises in the sky? This is the baby who changes everything. The baby who is actually the king of everything. And as they bowed and worshipped, they were changed forever. In worship, they were changed forever. They couldn't go back to who they were. And the Bible says this, they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts. Now, we know this. We know about the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. But I want us to pause immediately before that moment. Because we don't have gold and frankincense and myrrh. But we do have treasures. And for me, this is the pivotal sentence in the whole passage. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts. I know I'm playing with the punctuation, but just hold there for a moment. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts. What treasures might we open for the king? What treasures might we open from ourselves and present to King Jesus this morning? Because it's not okay for Jesus to just be Jesus. He is born to be king. It's what the scripture tells us. And so he is the king. So what treasures have we got within us that we would dare open and present to the king this morning? What about our hearts? Would you dare open that to the king? What about our hands? Would you dare open those to the king and let him lead where you might use them? What about our minds? Would you dare to give your mind to the king and let him guide it for his good and his glory? Our work, are you willing to do that as worship to the king? Our breath, will you breathe out every breath as worship to the king? So what are the treasures that you have that you would present King Jesus with today? And that's an invitation. Does anybody want to say what treasures they might present King Jesus with today? This is not a bragging festival. This is just about what would you offer Jesus in this moment, right here, right now? Children, adults, young or old, praise. You'd offer the gift of praise to Jesus this morning. We're going to do that in a minute, so bless you. Thank you. What else might we offer Jesus this morning as gifts? What treasures would we open?
Interceding for those who don't know him.
Interceding for those who don't know him. Praying for those who don't yet know Jesus. That's a great treasure to open. Open it and offer it. What else, folks? Hiya.
My mind.
Your mind. It's a good mind. It works very well, so keep offering it. That's right, our minds. What else might we open and offer this morning?
Our dosh.
Our dosh, thank you. That's right. So in a way, we do have gold. That's right. We do have gold. And we've spoken about this as a church family before, but I'm not here to pester you about that. But do open whatever you have as treasure and offer it. So we do have gold available to us. Many of us are rich beyond our wildest dreams.
Our trust.
Our trust. Thank you. We will trust in Jesus Christ alone. That's a gift, isn't it? Thank you. Hey, Nathan.
The gifts and talents he's already given us.
Thank you. So the stuff that's already within us, like we see our friends leading us in worship through music, that's gifts being given. Those of you who've served in any way this morning, that's gift being given.
Newborn children.
Newborn children, that's right. That's right. I don't know if anyone can remember back to that moment your child was born or you're expecting or you've recently had a child. But actually that joy of knowing that this is a gift from God. That's certainly how we felt, actually. We gave Zebedee back to God in baptism as a child and we said, he's yours. It's a gift. Bless you. Thank you.
Plenty of love.
Plenty of love, absolutely. Plenty of love from the King of Love.
Intimate time with him.
Intimate time with him. Thank you. Actually making the time. It's pretty easy, isn't it, in this life to let the whole world overtake us and actually Jesus gets squeezed out and we kind of jam it into a Sunday morning and we say, that's enough, that's okay. But actually the relationship we're called to with Jesus is one of permanence and constancy.
Our hearts.
Our hearts, thank you. Absolutely, our hearts. That's why for me in the bleak midwinter, what can I give him? Give my heart, absolutely. Every last drop of it. Spend it on Jesus.
Our hands and feet.
Our hands and feet. We are called into a hands and feet ministry. That means to walk with those who can't walk, to go on the journey with those who are stuck for a moment, to hold those who can't hold, to feed those who can't open their hands and feed themselves. It's all of us. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts. Here's another thing about Jesus. No one who ever meets him can ever return to where they came from. Or at least not the same. Once you've known and worshipped Jesus, everything changes forever. It's not that we can't go back to our homes or our families or our schools or our friends or our jobs. It's just that Jesus has changed us forever for his good. Life with Jesus is all about following another route. And so it was for the Magi. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned home to their country by another route. When we meet Jesus, the response of the Magi is the response we should follow. It is to fall to our knees and worship. When we recognize who this child come king is, it's to fall to our knees and worship. And when we've worshipped and known Jesus in us, with us, through us, and for us, then our lives will be filled with journeys that take another route. We will walk the Jesus route throughout this life. And we will worship as we go. So that's what we're going to do now. We've moved our worship time around to have a prolonged space now in which to worship together. Imagine that you have just walked into the house. You've just walked in and encountered Mary with this child. And you know that this child changes everything. That's how we're going to worship this morning. Let's just give our all. I'm going to leave a couple of moments quiet while these guys set up. And then we're going to have a fairly extended time to just worship together, to open treasures and offer them as gifts before him. That's between you and God. That's between you and Jesus. And to worship the newborn king.